Jazz.
See what's new in the Three Mountain Cafe and the collection, Mad River Green Shopping Center, Route 100, Waitsfield.
All right, we are back. 244-1777 is our local number. Toll free 1-877-291-8255. We've been talking with two online publication editors. John Margolis runs Vermont News Guy up at the Kingdom, and Galloway runs vtdigger.org. Where do you actually physically work out of?
I work out of my home office.
In a virtual world.
In a virtual world.
You're here in central Vermont somewhere.
I live in Hardwick.
Okay. That's, yeah.
But so John and I are practically neighbors.
There you go. There you go. And when you work out that deal there, which I've been brokering this morning, and I get my agent.
I work fairly frequently, as a matter of fact.
So tell me each of you the story in the last year you're most proud of that people should go back and look at. John?
Wow, that's a tough one.
I know. You have to pick from so many ones that were so good. I'm going to drive up there and strangle you.
I would say I kind of broke the story, and this is actually not the best, because everybody got it within the next day or even half a day of University of Vermont uninviting Ben Stein to be the commencement speaker. That shows what an old time reporter I am. It's the scoop that came to mind, which is actually not the most. The most important story I've done. What I've done is actually I'm working on something similar today. One of the things I've done several times in the year is bring in some information from out of Vermont that pertains to Vermont, some studies and data that explain that, you know, things aren't so different here as we sometimes think they are, or sometimes that they are so different. But I noticed that, like as in many states, the established press seems to be rather insular. And it's not even much of a criticism, because people are scrambling around to find out what's happening in the state. But there are things, there's information from outside the state that is often very helpful, important to know, that doesn't get disseminated as much.
Ian?
Well, I'm proudest of the series I'm working on right now. It's taken me a few months to pull it all together, but I'm working on a series of stories about organic food from China that's being sold in local co-ops and health food stores around the state. And it's been very difficult to kind of get a bead on the USDA's oversight of some of the farms in China. It's very difficult to get any information at all, actually, about where the food is grown. But garlic, for example, most organic garlic is from China. And now we're also getting black beans, adzuki beans, pumpkin seeds, pine nuts, all those things come from China now. And the bulk bin items like that aren't labeled at local co-ops. You know, the co-ops don't really have a choice, because the food is just distributed by United Natural Foods Incorporated, and they've really kind of begun to push this, organic farming in China, and they even have a frozen food line called Woodstock Farms that, you know, you'd think that they're selling products that you could even grow in Vermont, like spinach and peas. These things are coming from China, California. Wow. Mix. You know, so it's kind of, I started on this story because I do a lot of bulk buying myself, and I had bought 5 pounds of black beans and through a food buying club in Hardwick.
And you found a fortune cookie in it.
Right, exactly. And the fortune cookie was product of China on the label. And I thought, oh my God, I don't know why it shocked me so much, but I just assumed that it was at least grown in the United States, you know. And while, you know, local co-ops really, they work so hard to find local food, they really do, but there just isn't enough here. And, you know, I interviewed Enid Wanacut at NOFA, and she said that, you know, we only grow about 5% of our food here in Vermont. So even if you're a really devoted local vore and you're buying stuff in season, you know, your vegetables and fruits and so on. The rest of the year, where is that food coming from? You know, some of it's coming from China, it's coming from India, it's coming from South America, you know, whether you buy organic food or conventional food. So, and some co-op managers like Clem Nyland at City Market is saying, look, local food is more important. I'd buy local conventional garlic before I bought organic garlic from China, you know. So this is an unusual story for VT Digger. This is almost like a national story, really. But because we're so, as a state, you know, we really push the buy local, buy organic thing, it seemed important to plow ahead with it. And unfortunately, I'm going to have to pursue some FOIA requests with USDA because I can't get all the information I need. But
let's take a couple of calls. We go up, let's talk to Biddle. He's in a car. Good morning, Biddle Duke.
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
I'm good.
Good. I wanted to just call in as a fan of both John and Ann. I read their work almost every day. Ann, I think one of my favorite stories and one of my best stories, one of the best stories was the series you did on dairy farming, which
I would agree with that, totally.
Thanks.
I published the Waterbury Record and the Stowe Reporter, and we did a whole dairy farming series. But we, you know, really followed your work closely, and it was a model of good journalism. I concur with you wholeheartedly about scoop journalism. You know, you guys have both done great reporting, and Vermont is lucky to have reporters like you out there covering the ground and digging. I wanted to just throw one more thing in here. I'm headed to the Vermont Press Association meeting this morning to a panel discussion which starts in 15 minutes on how newspapers are going to incorporate the web and other sort of internet technologies and internet, social networking and all that kind of stuff into their programs and their systems in the future. And you guys should be there on the panel because the panelists are all newspaper people like you guys, but, pure newspaper company people, and it'd be great it's too bad that you guys aren't going to be there on that panel.
Well, that's why I invited them in today, just to try to, you know, steal some thunder from that event.
And Mark, I should say that the one agreement I do have with another news organization is with one of Biddle's papers, the Stowe Reporter. They link to my site on their, from their site, and vice versa, and that's been a very helpful and productive arrangement for me. It's gotten me more readers in that part of the state, and I've been very, very happy about that.
Biddle, let me ask you before I lose you here. So why stay in the print world? Why not just completely move to the virtual online world?
Well, in our case, our circulations just haven't declined, so we're not really showing any real erosion as a result of the net. We are picking up a lot of internet readers. Our internet readers are quite high, in part because we do things like link to John, and we have various ways to bring people to our sites. They aren't necessarily coming there to read about the school budget, but our internet sites get a lot of traffic. We haven't gone fully because community weeklies just are a tradition. People read and peruse them over a course of days. As I say, we haven't seen the erosion in our print product. So, we're investing in the web, and we're investing in websites, and we're definitely looking over our shoulder and looking ahead. So,
okay, all right, thanks, Biddle. I appreciate it.
Yeah, great, you guys. Thanks for being on the show, and thanks for doing this, Mark.
All right, let's head up to Burlington. This is FM 96.1 WDEV Warren, AM 550 WDEV Waterbury Montpelier. We head to Burlington. Good morning, Maggie.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
I'm great. How about you?
Very well. Thank you. Ann, good morning. It's Maggie Gunderson. John, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I blog on Green Mountain Daily, as you all know, and I also was a reporter for 5 years in Connecticut. I think Biddle touched on some of the reasons. I loved community journalism when I worked for a weekly, and people read it, and we did not lose our readers as there were changes. When I worked for a daily, it was a much tougher scene, and I take issue with some aspects of trusting what a paper says or a professional journalist says and giving just that codicil. I think John said something about that before, because when I worked for the Waterbury Republican, that daily paper, which was the only one in the only daily paper in that entire part of Connecticut, so it had quite a number of readers, we were literally not allowed to cover any Democratic candidates. As when you read the election coverage, you would think that there were no Democrats running. And it was really something else. And that's the paper that endorsed John Rowland for Connecticut's governor. He later spent a year in prison, and everyone locally knew all the things he was doing illegally, but the paper endorsed him and campaigned for him, and it was quite vitriolic. And John Rowland was the first governor in the U.S. to endorse George Bush and kick off his campaign. So, you know, just because someone is a professional journalist, and we had some incredible journalists on that staff, does not mean that what they're covering, you know, is true. So,
Let me interrupt you, because, one of the things that's interesting to me is that we have two people on today who clearly identify themselves as journalists. One of the things that I found interesting about Green Mountain Daily is that John Odom, who runs the sites, makes no pretense. He says, I'm doing this, I'm not a journalist. I'm more of a provocateur or a reporter of what's going on. Journalism isn't his thing.
Right. I understand that, and journalism still is my thing. So, and John has done a really, I think, fine job of bringing a full stable of people to write in there, and each one has a different perspective. I mean, Jack McCullough writes a lot of times from an attorney's perspective because he is an attorney.
Yeah.
And I still do my stories as if I'm a journalist, and occasionally I'll do a commentary that doesn't go that way, and I will say this is a personal commentary.
Mm-hmm.
Can I just break in here?
Yeah, go ahead.
I read that story about the Waterbury paper is so out of line with everything I've heard, and I've been a newspaper reporter for I started in 1963, so I go back a ways. I've never heard of anything that blatant. I worked for almost 25 years for the Chicago Tribune, which is probably the most important general circulation conservative on the editorial page newspaper in the country. Nobody at the paper ever suggested to me that I'd not cover Democrats or liberals or, for crying out loud, socialists if I wanted to go do a story on them, and nobody ever suggested that I slant a story in any way whatsoever. And that was a newspaper that was known and remains known to a lesser extent as being sort of the conservative voice of the Midwest. So I think what this example that Maggie's given, which is very disturbing, and I'm sure it's not unique, but I also think it's quite unusual. The Green Mountain Daily is very valuable. I read it, just as on the other side of the ideological spectrum, Vermont Tiger is very valuable, and I read it. And, they both, each comes at things, and they're not journalists, really. And they come at things with an ideological perspective, which is fine. And one of the most successful bloggers, online journalists of our of the era, which is just beginning, is Josh Marshall down in Washington. He
right.
says we've gone too far with balance, that mainstream journalism doesn't have to, you don't have to have stories that say opinions about the shape of the world continue to differ. You don't have to be so balanced that you give blatant falsehood equal time and equal space with reasonable disagreement, even, and there is a lot of that, but I do think it's important that the kind of journalist I am comes at things with the perspective of the disinterested observer, and I think Ann does the same thing. I'm not on this team, I'm not on that team, I'm not a Democrat, a Republican, a liberal, or conservative. Sometimes these guys are right, sometimes those guys are right, and I don't have any dog in the hunt. And I think that's the difference between what both Ann and I do and Green Mountain Daily on one side and Vermont Tiger on the other.
Yes, I think that's right. I mean, that is the difference. But I think sometimes...
Yeah, that's a fair assessment.
But I do think that sometimes, perhaps unwittingly, traditional journalists tend to kind of play into the ping pong matches. You know, I do think that we feel that we need to have opinions from both sides incorporated into a story. And in some ways, I'm trying to go past that. I'm more interested in the facts and what's happening beneath the surface rather than what people think about it, unless they have something really crucial to offer that's going to shape
this part of the actual. Sometimes the thinking becomes part of the substantive facts of the world themselves. So
yes.
So sort of intellectual dispute is real also. But I quite agree with you. There are things going on. And we don't have time to look into it often. There are official records and unofficial records to be consulted in which you learn more than you do getting one side's rhetoric and then the other side's rhetoric.
Absolutely. We've got to get beyond rhetoric in this country and really take a hard look at what's going on underneath the surface. And that's what VT Digger's about. And I think that's what you do too, John.
All right, we're going to take a couple of more quick calls here. Maggie, thanks. I appreciate
your
comments. And we'll take a quick break. We'll be back in a moment. Rick, hang on. We'll get to your call right after this.
WDEV is pleased that Big Picture Theater and Cafe uses WDEV for their marketing message. Here's Claudia Becker to talk about her experience.
I have had my radio ads with DEV for about a year now, and I do them every week, and I hear so many people say, oh, I heard your ad today, and I change them up according to our special events, so I feel like that gives us another chance to put our word out about what's going on here at the Big Picture. I'm trying to reach mostly the local crowd. WDV is a radio station that I think almost everybody I know listens to. And I think it just broadens my field of how I can reach people. It's also very fun. I like the ads. I think they're well done, and they give a certain, you know, energy to our advertisement that you can't have when it's just in print.
WDEV and Big Picture Theater, reaching listeners with effective commercial advertising. Community radio, serving the community needs.